Stumbling and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Who we are so thankful for is sticking with us for another year. Thanks to TriStar Moving to be our presenting sponsor. 1025-1063 The Game. And, of course, we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. I got caught up there at the beginning of the segment because I just saw a tweet from Mike Florio that made me laugh out loud.
What was it?
It said they should give the Rams another Lombardi for their ability to so casually and nonchalantly tell lies.
I think that might apply to a lot of NFL franchises.
I just don't know.
Everyone lies.
I know, but like, do the Titans lie that much? Do the Titans lie so casually and nonchalantly?
I don't foresee trading A.J. Brown.
But was that nonchalant or was that, you know, they really lied? Like that was, Johnny didn't want to lie, but he did.
I mean, you tell me what you interpreted it as, because that was a lie. I don't foresee trading A.J. Brown.
Do you think at that moment that they didn't foresee? Did foresee it and they just didn't want to tell me.
I think that they foresaw it and did not want to tell you.
I would agree.
That is a lie.
So we'll have to take what we are about to read off with a grain of salt. Dan Graziano, I guess, is on some summer tour for ESPN where he's going, you know, all over the place for training camp, which I'm sure they do. They have like eight reporters. They probably, all right, you go to these seven. You go over here. You go to these ones. And mm-hmm. That's, you know, kind of what ESPN does. And so Dan Graziano had a handful of notes from Titans practice. Now, here's what's crazy about the Titans practice is how he prefaces it, where he basically says he went to Titans practice, but he didn't really pay attention. So he writes in on Titans practice. Full disclosure, quote, I spent almost all of my time at Titans training camp working on an interview with Derrick Henry for a TV feature that will run on Sunday NFL Countdown sometime early in the season. So I didn't get to spend as much time on in-depth conversations with key decision makers as I did at the other camps. It's okay. They wouldn't have told you anything that mattered anyways, in my opinion, but whatever. I did get a chance to talk to a couple people in the building behind the scenes and got some background info on the team from those conversations. So, first let's start there. He's saying that what we're about to read is not from Robinson and Vrabel, right?
Not directly. No.
Okay. So just some people that talked to him on background. And I think they're all kind of interesting, and this is behind the ESPN Plus paywall. But here's what he put at the bottom, because he had to include some fantasy nuggets as well.
Yeah.
Quote, no, I do not foresee any adjustment to Derrick Henry's workload. Henry missed time with a foot injury last year, but one person I talked to said it was more of a freak occurrence injury, i.e. he got his foot stepped on, than an overuse one. Fire up Henry at the top of your fantasy drafts without concern. Now, let's take out the fantasy football element here, because even though I'm sure a lot of you play fantasy football, I don't care about fantasy football, and I certainly don't care about your fantasy football team. But Derrick Henry's workload being the same, do we think that's a good idea? Again, last year before he got hurt, Derrick Henry was averaging 28 touches of the football a game. And even then, at the time, before Derrick Henry got hurt, when Derrick Henry had never been hurt before, other than missing a Chargers game because of a calf injury, we asked, is that too much to be giving the ball to Derrick Henry? 28 touches a game. Even last year, he had 219 attempts, and he missed half the season.
Yeah.
So that's basically on pace for 430 carries. He led the league in rushing. In rushing yards and rushing attempts each of the last 2 years before that, 378, 303. So by Graziano's metrics, the Titans are going to be running Derrick Henry about 400 times this season. Do you think Derrick Henry can do that? Would you pencil Derrick Henry in for 400 carries? Would you want to give Derrick Henry 400 carries, or would you be concerned about giving Derrick Henry all those carries?
Well, to that question, I would ask you, what's the alternative?
Well, okay. So
is that putting the ball in Tannehill's hands?
No, because let me argue this.
Is that running the ball with Hilliard and Hassan Haskins?
Or Wilkins, Cannon, Chestnut, whomever.
Whomever.
But the whomever's important, and I'll tell you why. Because last year, even when Derrick Henry got hurt, they still ran the ball effectively.
Well, you don't have that guy anymore.
But they ran it with Hilliard. See,
But I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would say Deontay Foreman probably got a majority of those touches.
My thing, and I like Foreman, and I wish they had brought him back.
Yeah.
My argument is Foreman was a nobody. They picked him up off the street. They had him on the team last year in 2020, and they didn't even like him enough to keep him throughout the season. They cut him. Derek gets hurt. They bring him back. They try to run Adrian Peterson first. They try to run Hilliard a little bit or whatever. Then they start running Foreman. And Foreman becomes a free agent, doesn't sign right away. The Titans clearly had no interest in bringing him back. And he signed with Carolina for $2 million. I mean, that's a nobody. That's $1.5 million less than Jeff Swaim.
Yeah.
And Jeff Swaim sucks. So that to me is like, I think Deontay Foreman is a nobody. And they still, and I mean that with respect, but for the sake of this discussion, like I like Foreman, but as far as what they value Foreman as, they don't value him at all. So for them to be able to run the ball with Foreman the way they ran the ball with Foreman, that would lead me to ask, okay, do the Titans have to be more, or should the Titans, not have to, but should they be more conscious to give Hassan Haskins carries and give Dontrell Hilliard carries, or give Trenton Cannon or Wilkins or whomever else is on the team and active carries? Because if they can run it with Henry, that's good. But if they can run it with Foreman and they can run it with Hilliard and they can probably run it with Haskins, then wouldn't that be a good idea? Or is it just Derrick Henry's a volume guy and the Titans have to give it to Derrick as much as they can and hope that Derrick stays Derrick?
I mean, I would say that Derrick Henry is a volume guy and you continue to give him the ball. It's a massive workload, especially a running back that's aging and especially a running back who's coming off of an injury. But I think that you have to carry on the way that you've been doing it. And knowing, too, that Hassan Haskins and Trenton Cannon and whoever is back there and can also contribute to those touches as well. But I would say that you need to go into this season at least, because we haven't seen regression from Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Injury, yes, and that's a little bit of a concern.
That is actually not totally true.
Okay.
So Derrick Henry played 8 games last year. He averaged 117 yards, which is down from the 126 he averaged the year before, but it is up from the 102 that he averaged when he won the rushing title in 19. But in 19, he averaged 5.1 yards per attempt, 5.4 yards per attempt in 2020, 4.3 yards per attempt last year.
How much of that, though, is also, and I know that's an average, so it's the amount of games wouldn't necessarily matter, but he also didn't play a full season last year.
And Derrick Henry plays his best football in December.
Yeah. So, and how much of that could have been, you know, a week 15 game where he pops off for a 75-yard run?
No, I agree.
It's not totally and completely fair, and it's not also an egregious difference. I hear you. That it's, you know, you could look at it and say, yeah, there's a little bit of a step back, but I don't think it's so egregious that you should start, you know, plan B.
Well, did you feel last year, like when Derrick Henry ran the football, that he was dominating games because he was Derrick Henry? Or did you feel like he was running at the pace he was running because they just gave him the ball so much?
I think it was kind of a mix of both.
I want to say the Seattle game, it felt like he truly dominated that game. You know what? You're right. The Bills game, Derrick Henry, I felt like getting knocked out of that Bills game, and Derrick just took one right up the crack for 70 yards.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. See, here's the thing that's tough for me, is I do not believe that Derrick Henry can run the football 400 times, and it has nothing to do with Derrick Henry. It just has everything to do with the reality of the position, the age, and the fact that, again, leading the league in carries in this era where the guys are so big and so strong and all the playoff carries. And I believe that the last year that they ran the ball, they didn't run the ball as effective. I know that there were all these stats that said, you know, with Derrick they averaged this and without Derrick they averaged that.
But really ran the ball pretty effectively.
They did at times. They did, you know, in that Patriot game that they didn't win.
Well, yeah, if you don't fumble the ball 2 or 3 times, then you probably win that game, but I digress.
I'm looking at Emmitt Smith's rushing total. Emmitt Smith rushed the ball in 1995, which was his last season as an All-Pro. Now, he did make two Pro Bowls after that, but with the Pro Bowl and Emmitt, I don't know if that was just name recognition for Emmitt.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith ran the ball 377 times in 95. He led the league in carries 2 years in a row, 368, 377, and 94 and 95. Emmitt Smith rushed it for 327 at the age of 27 and 96. So that would have been Derek last year. The next year, Emmitt ran the ball 261 times. Emmitt then after that was 319, 329, 294. Was that Dallas? Now, Dallas, again, after 95, which was their last Super Bowl, salary cap set in. All those guys, you know, the Nate Newtons of the world got old. Mm-hmm. Aikman got old. Barry Switzer was a crap coach. Was that because Emmitt got older and they felt like, we can't give the ball to Emmitt Smith 377 times? Or was it because they stunk now that Barry Switzer was the coach and they had to throw the football more and they were down in games and they didn't have the same offensive line?
I think both things can be true.
Or was it because at the end of Emmitt's career, Emmitt 294, 261, 254, and then those years that he spent
carries
in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those years he spent in Arizona that nobody cares about. But again, somebody basically told Dan Graziano, expect Derrick Henry to run the ball as much as Derrick Henry ran the ball last year.
And he was on pace. He got hurt week 8.
He played in 8 games.
Played in 8 games.
So that's
he had
almost
219 attempts last year.
219.
He's on pace for 440 carries.
400 and probably 60 because there's a 17th game.
That's
so 8 is not, you know, 8's
yeah,
not
that's
double.
Not,
you got to add another game on top of it.
So 450-ish carries.
Yeah, because if he was on pace for 440 with a 16-game season and he's touching the ball 28 times, I mean, that's in the 450 range. And again, the most for Emmitt Smith was 377.
And Derek had 378 in 2020 when he ran for 2,000-plus yards.
That's one more than Emmitt.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
And last year, he even had a little bit more in the passing game. He had 18 receptions, which is tied for the second most of his career in only 8 games.
I'll say this. Before they put the pads on and Derek stopped practicing, they threw a couple passes to him out of the backfield in training camp, and I thought Derek looked much better handling the football as far as a receiving option was concerned. I pulled up Terrell Davis. Ha! So, you know, Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame because he had 3 years in which he really carried the Broncos, was a 3-time All-Pro, mm-hmm. and then the 2 Super Bowls, and he was the key cog there. Elway was phasing out. He was the guy. Terrell Davis, 237 carries at 23. Then he became the starter, the 3 All-Pro years. 345, 369, 392, 67, 78, 167 out of the league.
I mean,
so it finally caught
wonder,
up to Terrell Davis at 27. Derek's going to be 28 this year.
I do wonder, it will happen. So when that day comes, is it such an obvious drop off that it's like this, he's done? Or is it a gradual over the next couple of years? You got to hope for the second.
I believe that it will be like Eddie George's 2001 season where it was obvious that Eddie was no longer the same. I'm not going to say it's going to happen this year, but at some point, Father Time will catch up with Derrick Henry. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you got a Derek thought, get it in. 615-737-1025. Plus, Mike Vrabel explains what the plan is for Derrick Henry going forward in training camp. Hint, not very much. Is that a good idea? Plus, the younger backs. What did we learn last year? Does that make us feel better about this year? We'll discuss Stillman & Company right here, 1025, 1063 The Game. Let me tell you about the ultimate date night opportunity for all of you out there. I know everyone's trying to figure out what they want to do or what they're going to, you know, because it's the final countdown until football starts. And look, you just want to watch sports when football starts. So get the wife taken care of with a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. And you can qualify to win Davidoff, a cigar, blend, bar, cocktail, and gift card. So tune in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace tomorrow during the noon hour for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
If you're going to talk about the Titans, you have to talk about Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Obviously, the King is a big factor. How has his training camp gone so far, and how are you sort of working him at this point?
Well, he's gotten some work. with some of the team stuff early on, and just felt like, you know, as we transitioned here into the second week, that, you know, it would be best served to try to get him some individual work, you know, maybe some of the, you know, the lesser group work, and, you know, maybe some of the pods work where there's less bodies, and, you know, still getting him some speed, but just keeping him out of some of the 11 on 11.
So what's the Derrick Henry plan, Mike? He's basically done practicing. He will not wear a pad and hit another pad at all this season. In the preseason, he will not run the football in any preseason game. And the first time that you'll see Derek run the football is against the Giants on September 11th. Good? Good.
Cool.
All right, cool. Now, here's something that I was wondering about Derek, because, again, last year he was on pace for 450 carries or 450 touches. I guess he was averaging 24 carries. So what do we figure? It was 419 for the season at a game of 28 or whatever, so
440 for the season.
440 for the season.
Because he had 219 in those 8 games, so about 440-ish for the season.
440, and then add
that 17th game.
Okay, so add 24, so no.
450, essentially.
No, 464 carries. 464 carries for Derrick Henry. Again, Emmitt Smith, 377 was the max in his career, and that's Emmitt. They cannot run the ball 464 times with Derrick Henry, even if he doesn't practice.
What was so different about last year? Was it Tannehill just being bad last year, and so they were like, just hand the ball off to Derrick on every single freaking down?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because just lack of passing options and the...
His career high before this last year, and of course this is all projection based off of, you know, his half season, but the highest before that was 378 in 2020.
The one thing, though, that was crazy about that, we talked about this all season long with the Titans last year, which was that the front end of that schedule, specifically the middle quarter of the schedule, where Indianapolis was in there and the Bills were in there and the Chiefs
Kansas
were in
City.
There... That was really where, I mean, we felt like the Titans won the division after they beat Indianapolis on Halloween.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if Vrabel had purposely backed off on Derek down the stretch of the season last year to keep it from 464 carries, but he never really got the opportunity to. Here's the other question I have. Did the effectiveness of Foreman and Hilliard last year give you optimism that if the Titans decide to run the football with Hassan Haskins or run the ball with Dontrell Hilliard or even run the ball with Wilkins or whomever, that the Titans will still effectively run the ball? Because I can't understand why the Titans are so good at running the football. Their best offensive line is a league average left tackle in Taylor Lewan. Ben Jones is a fine center. They love him. But I don't think anybody else around the league really loves Ben Jones. He's certainly not Corey Linsley or Ryan Jensen or any of those kind of centers. Nate Davis is a solid right guard. Mm-hmm. And right now, right tackle and left guard are a mess. Now, Roger Saffold, that might be a problem that he's not in there, but we'll see. But Derek has run with crap on the offensive line for the last 2 years. He ran with a rookie, Nate Davis. He ran with Dennis Kelly at right tackle for 2,000 yards. David Questenberry started half the season at left tackle. Last year, Questenberry ran at right tackle. It's like it doesn't matter who plays on the offensive line for Derek. Doesn't matter who's in the passing game for Derek. Doesn't matter how effective the quarterback is for Derek. Somehow, Derek just racks up a bunch of yards no matter what. And then Derek gets hurt. And everybody in the stadium knows that Tannehill's having a bad year. And after that Texans debacle with 4 interceptions, I'm thinking they have to get back to running the ball. I don't care who runs it. I don't care if it's Hilliard or Foreman. I remember saying that I would run Foreman, but they have to treat Foreman like it's Derrick Henry, and if that means that they have to punt more, so be it. They're not throwing it 48 times a game. And it worked. And I don't know how it worked when everybody in the ballpark knew what was coming. And it still worked. And it makes me think that the Titans are like the 49ers, where they can run the ball. And I'm not trying to downplay Derek here, but where they can run the ball with anybody. I mean, the 49ers, Ian, you play fantasy football. How many good running backs have the 49ers had over the last 4 years?
Pretty decent amount, I'd say.
Mostert,
pretty good. They had that Elijah Mitchell kid kind of pop.
Jeff Wilson
Jr. is not too bad. He'll play some.
And I want to say there was a running back before Mostert who ran the ball well for them, but I can't.
And I mean, Debo runs the ball pretty well. He's not a running back, but he runs the ball.
And they use Debo in that as well. I just wonder if I'm Vrabel this season, do I decide, you know what, we drafted Hassan Haskins in the fourth round. We're going to give the ball to Hassan Haskins because we're not going to put Derek on pace for 464 yards. Even if, as Dan Graziano wrote at ESPN, even if the Titans don't believe that it was a wear and tear injury, they believe that somebody stepped on his foot and that's what caused the stress fracture in his foot and the Jones fracture or whatever, that I don't think Mike Vrabel can give his 28-year-old running back 464 carries this year.
Well, my question to you would be, what would be the point of that?
Of giving the ball to Derek Less?
Yes.
Almost prolonging his career?
But is that even a possibility? Because we've seen in the past with really, really good running backs, some of the best running backs of all time, once you turn 30, there's certain things that, you know, if you were preserved at 28 and 29, that's not going to extend your career, and you're not going to be the same kind of player when you're 31, 32, 33.
Well, I don't know if those guys were preserved, though, right? Like, I don't think anybody at that point, nobody...
Then why would you start now?
Because the Titans can run the ball effectively with a nobody like Foreman.
Then they can run it a whole heck of a lot better with Derrick Henry.
But they ran it, I mean, I'm not going to say they ran it the same, but they ran it very similarly with both guys.
But I go back to this discussion, debate that we had for so many weeks heading into the Cincinnati Bengals game. And you said, if you have Derrick Henry, it doesn't matter if it's a gain of 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yard, 1 yard, negative two. You got to stick with Derrick Henry.
I have never criticized Mike Vrabel for all the things that I have criticized Vrabel for over the years and all the things that I have criticized Vrabel for in the Cincinnati game. I have never criticized Vrabel for running the ball with Henry more than Foreman, even though it was obvious in the game that Foreman was the better running back at that point. Derrick didn't look right in that game. Foreman looked really good, had the big run, Tannehill threw the interception on the next play, and I've never criticized Vrabel for that because I believe that was the right decision. But this is different.
But where's the change of heart here?
This is almost, and they've done this before in the past. They played a game against Chicago where they, 2 years ago in 2020, where that Chicago team freaking sucked and Nick Foles was their quarterback and Derek, it looked like a preseason game, just standing on the sidelines, not getting in the game. And TD asked Vrabel after the game if he was doing that to preserve Derek because they played the Colts on Thursday night. And, you know, I always expect Vrabel to never say yes. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel said yes. And I was like, whoa. I think maybe this is where you tell Derek, if you're the Titans, Vrabel sits him down and says, dude, we can't run you 464 times. 464 times.
I mean, no, that's ridiculous. And that's also a projection.
And I think, and you've been at practice too, I think Haskins can do what they, and we're going to see Haskins on Thursday, yeah. I think Haskins can run the ball effectively.
Yeah, and Hilliard's
just
been
like
fine.
Foreman can run the ball. Hilliard's pissing me off a little bit in practice.
Why?
Dropping the passes from Tannehill, dropped the touchdown
He has used a lot in the passing game.
And I'm not a huge Hilliard guy. He was fine, but if I had to pick between Hilliard or Foreman from last year...
Oh, I'm taking Foreman.
Foreman.
Easily.
But I think Haskins... I do believe that Haskins can run the ball. Like, if Derek got hurt, knock on wood. If Derek gets hurt again, I want to run the ball with Haskins first. And if Haskins can't run it, then Chestnut or a free agent or whatever, run the ball. But I think Haskins could do an okay job running the ball right now. He looks like an NFL running back. He's had some good runs in camp. He's had some okay runs. No way to tell, you know, if it's the deep offensive line's fault if a guy doesn't get a big one. They don't even tackle in practice. So that's kind of hard to feel. But I do think last year opened my eyes to, I think the Titans, if something happened to Derek, could run the ball effectively with Hilliard and Haskins. And I would not change the offense. If something happened to Derek,
that you can.
I would not turn to Tannehill and say, you have to throw more now.
And I'm glad that's what they did last year. Was even when Derrick Henry got hurt, they're not turning to Tannehill to air the ball out every down.
Well, it took a 4-interception game against Tyrod Taylor and the Texans. And I didn't even think about this yesterday when we were joking about Daniel Jones getting benched at Giants practice for Tyrod Taylor. I didn't even think about this, you know, because that could be the week one game and Tyrod Taylor could be the starter of the Giants.
Oh, don't get nervous about Tyrod Taylor.
The Titans lost to Tyrod Taylor last
year. No.
I forgot that they lost to Tyrod Taylor.
No. Did Davis Mills become the starter?
I think it was after that game. Tyrod Taylor played that game
and
on
then they
Floyd
benched
Day.
Was
Davis Mills hurt? Because I'm pretty sure he started last season.
I know Tyrod won that game here, and it was a disgusting,
Don't you get
gross.
Nervous about Tyrod Taylor.
I'm not, but I thought about it today. This has to be the first team in the history of the NFL that beats Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Matthew Stafford.
And loses to Zach Wilson, Tyrod Taylor, And an old Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah.
I mean, Kyler Murray is by far the best quarterback they lost to last year, and I don't even like Kyler very much. 615-737-1025. We will get to your wonderful phone calls and text messages. That is next, 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. They were at my house this weekend, and of course, they did a fantastic job. Why? Because they always do a fantastic job. It's so easy whenever I have an issue. I just go right on the phone, and Hiller does a fantastic job, takes care of everything. They were out at the home on Sunday, fixed my air conditioner for me. That's what I needed. This month, they're going to be taking great care of you with back-to-school season because they'll get you a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater. They'll get you a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator. And they're also going to keep you cool for back-to-school with a limited-time financing on HVAC replacements. Get 0% interest financing for up to 12 months on select new HVAC systems. There is no better time to make sure your family is comfortable for the last bit of warm weather and before things start to get cold. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be. Your service is free. Guarantee. That's right. They're my guys. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
You're getting a lot of time to kind of sit back and watch those guys. But for you, like, how has it been just as far as like, getting the reps and just getting back into the groove that you feel you need to be in?
Yeah, I feel good. Like I said, it's exciting to get back and get out there and get some reps, working with Coach Dews and, you know, being with the younger backs and Dontrell and Jordan and, you know, Torrey. So this has been fun getting some work in and, you know, just being back out here. You know, it's the best time of the year, so.
There you go. That was Derrick Henry. Again, Dan Graziano at ESPN writes that Derrick Henry, somebody he talked to in the organization, not worried about lowering Derrick Henry's carry total, that expect if you're a fantasy football player for Derrick to get it just like he got it last year. And again, he was on pace last season for 464 carries. Now, it should be noted that he didn't get 464 carries.
No.
Eddie George got 400 carries. It was the most in his career in 2000. Eddie George averaged 3.7 yards a crack. So Eddie in 2000, 3.7, 99, 4.1, 98, 3.7, 97, in which he made, and he made the Pro Bowl in all these years, 97, 3.9. After his 400 carry season, Eddie George at the age of 28, 3 yards a crack.
Nice.
So he was about a 4 yard a crack back. 3 yards after that, he was never the same. And at some point, that will happen to Derrick Henry. And I don't know when it will be. And I and the Titans are hoping it's not this year. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan is going to kick us off this hour. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Yeah, first off, I do agree. I think we were all really surprised last year when Henry went out and they just kept on going like nothing had happened. It was pretty surprising. But anyways, yeah, about Graziano's reporting that it wasn't a wear and tear incident, that it was something freak, such as his foot being stepped on. I just find that kind of odd they would, you know, even say that, because everyone's going to know the foot's injured anyway. But now do you want a 350-pound lineman walking around, you know, a wink, wink, I accidentally stepped on Henry's foot, you know? So I just found that kind of odd that if that is true, that the Titans would leak it. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Do you question the validity of what Graziano was told? Not Graziano's reporting, but do you question the validity of what Graziano was told?
No. Do you?
Yeah, kind of.
Why?
Because we didn't hear any of that when it happened.
Yeah. But, I mean, where did you think it came from?
I don't know. I mean, I remember watching that game. I was at a Dave & Buster's in Marietta. And I was at the World Series. The Braves were about to play Game 5. Me, my dad, and my best friend's dad, who's also a Braves fan and was also at the World Series, we left, like, the Cobb County area where the stadium is, and we went to a Dave & Buster's in Marietta, and there was nobody there except for us and, like, this other random Titans fan and then this one dude that was watching a bunch of games, and every time Derrick Henry got the ball, just kept screaming, "Go King, go King, go King."
It's kind of
every
depressing.
Time. No, it was great.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun.
I mean, think about, like, your average Buffalo Wild Wings, for instance, or your standard sports bar on a football Sunday. Usually it's packed and you can't get a seat and, you know, you can't get a food order, and then it takes forever for them to bring it out or whatever. There's nobody there. It was like we had rented out the Dave & Buster's. They even originally had the Falcons game, obviously, on the big screen.
Right.
And they were like, "Hey, you want to put the Titans game on the big screen?"
Yeah.
Yes. And so we watched that game, and I remember my friend's dad saying to me, like, "Derek doesn't look right running the ball." And remember, because Derek went to the sideline, took his shoe off. And I don't know if he switched shoes or he took his shoe off.
That is right.
And he didn't look right. And then it came out the next day that he broke his foot. Obviously, he got an x-ray there in Indianapolis. They saw it was the break. And then they released the news the next day. And we never heard that somebody stepped on his foot. So now I find it hard to believe that Graziano's being told, "Oh, yeah, don't worry, someone stepped on his foot."
But, I mean, someone could have stepped on his foot and then he could have gone to the sidelines and took his shoe off because his foot hurt.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like when Paul Kaharsky says that because it was a stress reaction,
that also makes sense.
Definitely a wear and tear injury from the stress. I'm like,
I mean,
no.
I hope that's not the case.
Well,
but
it could be fractured from the stress of a 400-pound man putting his foot on that foot.
That's also true. And it also could be the turf, because that's not the only injury that we saw on that turf.
Jameson Williams blew up his knee on that turf. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in and says, "Imagine playing football in your backyard with your 7-year-old and 9-year-old sons and allowing them to tackle you 400 times. What are the odds that you'll get injured?" I would say probably 100%.
So that's the way the NFL players always talk about this stuff, is close your garage door and then run yourself into the garage door 20 times. And that is what playing in an NFL game is like. I've never played in an NFL game. I'm not going to question the validity of that. Brad Hopkins told me one time that he had to pull off on the side of the road after a game and get out of the car because he could not. The pain that he was feeling the drive home was too much. Now, that was a different era of football, but again, Derek plays a very physical game. I completely agree with that. But Derek is built for that. Like, he carried the ball like that at Alabama. He carried the ball like that starting in 2019 and in the playoffs in that 2019 season. And he gets better when most guys slow down as the season goes on. Derrick Henry gets better. So I can't completely go there. But yes, I would agree that at some point the wear and tear is going to catch up to Derrick Henry. I just don't know when. And if the Titans have an option of running Hassan Haskins, who, again, I've liked in practice. I think he's looked okay. Not a ton I can judge from the running game just from practice, but I like what I see out of Hassan Haskins. I certainly think he can be like Foreman was last year. Would it benefit the Titans to run the ball with Haskins in some of these games, especially if they've got a lead or something like that? But then again, Derek plays better in December, so why, if it's not broken, and Graziano's reporting the Titans don't think it's broken, if it's not broken, why try to fix it? Mm-hmm. Which is just give it to Derek, and then give it to Derek some more. What's next?
Another texter says, is it age or is it carries? He's going to fall off at some point. Get what you can out of him now.
So I've thought about that. We talked about that. You just ride the horse.
Yeah.
Just ride him. Just like one of these relief pitchers in baseball, where the guy gets out there, 63 appearances, makes 12 appearances in the postseason. The guy's thrown 3 days in a row, and at some point, those relievers are done. And it's not like a Tommy John. It's like they have a shoulder injury, they come back from that, then they have a Tommy John, then they come back from that. Then the Giants in the 2000s had a closer who was unbelievable by the name of Rob Nen. And Rob Nen, down the stretch, they won the wild card that year. Rob Nen pitched in almost every game, it felt like. Then when they got to the playoffs, they went 5 in the first round. I forget what they did in the NLCS where they won, and then they went 7 in the World Series. And Rob Nen pitched like every night. and Robinson never pitched again in Major League Baseball. Is that so? Like, that arm was done. And that is kind of how I feel about Derek, which is at some point, Derek is going to be done. And I don't know if it's going to be when he's 31, 32, 29, 28. I don't know. And I don't know if it's carries. I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's injury or the combination of all three. But I do think there's some truth to that text, that the Titans are looking at it like, let's just run Derek for as long as we can. Mm-hmm. And during the season, you know, if there's a Thursday night game coming up and we've got a lead in a game, let's back it off a little bit and put Haskins out there or whatever. But at the end of the day, if we have to give it to Derek 28 times, we're going to give it to Derek 28 times. And if Derek can't run the ball anymore, then so be it. And we'll adjust off of that. And I don't think that that's totally stupid. Like, what's the point of saying, well, I'd like to save Derek some for next year, or I'd like to save Derek.
Especially when you're working against the clock as well.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know what he's going to be like at 29 or 30. So if he's good to go at 28, then go ahead and put him out there.
And you don't know if you'll be good when Derek is 30 or 31. I have a pretty good feeling they're going to be good at Derek at 28 years old this season. What's next?
Another texter says, remember that Derrick Henry, even though injured, had half a season of rest last year. That should account for something.
Okay. I'll ask you guys. How much do we value the half of season that Derrick didn't play last year as far as Derrick's long-term outlook is concerned?
See, I wouldn't necessarily call it rest because he wasn't resting. It was half a season of recovery and an off-season of recovery. But you could look at it in two different lenses. You could look at it and say, well, it was half of a season last year that he wasn't just getting knocked around every single week. But you could also look at it like, well, that was half a season that Derek was, you know, nursing an injury and wasn't out there, you know, competing in game shape. Obviously, Derrick Henry looks like he's in pretty good game shape, but I think you could look at it as a positive or negative thing. I think if you're going to talk about longevity and if you're worried about the overusage of Derrick Henry, maybe a half a season not out there every single week getting 25, 26, 27 carries a game was a weird blessing in disguise.
Ian, what do you think?
I don't know. Part of me does feel like to, you know, whatever amount of mileage you can keep off his legs in the long run is probably a good thing. But I do wonder, you know, we talk about with Henry and how not only can he just carry the ball a lot, but he can break off some explosive big runs. And I do worry about whether or not he can continue that explosion. And if he loses some explosiveness in general, and how that does for his home run hitting. But
I think the home run hitting is a big part of that game too.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, I do think in general it's probably a good thing as long as the explosion is still okay.
The thing I'll say is I hope, right?
Yeah.
Like I hope that half a season off, even though none of us wanted it, and it probably is going to be the reason why he doesn't end up in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't end up in the Hall of Fame, I hope it's a good thing this year. Like, I hope that...
And I hated it for him.
I did.
But...
Right. And I hated it at the time.
Yeah.
And...
Because how could you not? But...
It's like... I know that age would eventually catch up with Derek no matter what. That if Derek didn't play this year but played next year, that would probably be better for him than if he plays this year and then plays next year at 29. But ultimately, Derek's not going to be 37 years old running the football. I think we all would agree with that. So eventually, at some point, age will catch up with Derek. At some point, I would assume that carries are going to catch up with Derek because eventually they caught up with LaDainian Tomlinson. I believe they caught up with Tomlinson when he was 29. They caught up with Eric Dickerson when he was 30. They caught up with Emmitt Smith when he was 31. You know, even the best backs, eventually the carries catch up to him. But I don't know which one is going to be the one that catches up to Derek first. And then there's the injury. Derek has always been a doesn't-get-injured guy until now. And oftentimes, one injury, it will be feared, will lead to another injury. Freak things like a torn ACL, normally that doesn't lead to other injuries, but Derek didn't tear his ACL. So, it's like I don't know which one's going to get him, and I don't know when it's going to get him. And there's no way for me to be able to judge that.
But I would say just rock with it until that day comes, because that's inevitable.
I think there's probably some truth to that. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your phone. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll give away some Sounds tickets coming up next to a very important Sounds game. And I will tell you why right here. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game. Stillman & Company live at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds are taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, and they will be taking on the Gwinnett Stripers all weekend long. I love this about AAA baseball, is they play Tuesday through Sunday, so I'm a big Braves fan, and every time that the Stripers come, I always go to one game on the homestand, because, you know, the Braves are my team, and the Sounds are my AAA team, so I get to see them both play, and last time I saw Braden Shoemake, who might be the next shortstop of the Atlanta Braves when Dansby Swanson leaves as a free agent, and a big home run for Gwinnett against the Sounds, so I get excited about that. So I'm going to give away a pair of tickets. Or no, excuse me. I'm going to give a family four-pack of tickets away.
Woohoo!
To the Sounds game on Sunday against the Gwinnett Stripers. Now, this is a very important game, and I'm going to tell you why it's a very important game. Because I'm throwing out the first pitch. So it's my team, the Sounds, my other team, the Stripers, the AAA affiliate of my real team, the Braves. And if you are, let's do caller six at 615-737-1025, then you're going to be watching me throw out the first pitch with a family four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers. So good luck to you in that regard. How do you feel about me? I'm worried that I'm going to get a little nervous. I've thrown two strikes, 2015 and 16. Throwing out the first pitch.
You're going to round it out with a full out here this weekend?
Well, I'm worried. That's true. I'm worried that because it's Gwinnett, the AAA affiliate of the Braves, I'm going to get nervous.
Are they going to call you up? Are you nervous about that?
Dude, if they call me up, oh my God.
Well, I'm going to give you as hard of a time, or at least attempt to give you as hard of a time that you gave me when I threw up my first pitch at the Sounds game.
Don't bounce it.
Are you going to be on the mound?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be at the rubber.
Okay. You better.
I may take a glove
with
me out
there. I'm going to check the replay, and I'm going to make sure that your foot is behind that rubber.
I might take a glove with me out there.
Oh.
Just so I get the feeling of having the ball in the glove and throwing it in there. Let me tell you a story.
The full authentic experience.
So, 2015, I had just started at the radio station, and I was throwing out the first pitch, and Floyd was doing the afternoon show. I wasn't doing the afternoon show. No, maybe this was 2016 and maybe the other one was 17. I can't remember. So I was throwing out the first pitch and Floyd told me before I threw out the first pitch, he said, if you bounce that effing ball, I will never let you hear the end of it. So I go out to the mound and there is a group of nuns that is like sitting right behind home plate. And from my vantage point, they're like, you know, 10 feet above home plate. And all I could think about was whatever I do, do not bounce the ball. So I looked at the nuns. And again, it wasn't like I was throwing the ball at the nuns, but
I hope not.
Well, but there's also the net and everything else. But
you still shouldn't aim for anyone, much less nuns.
So I aimed right for the nuns. Again, knowing that they were protected by the net. And because I tried to overthrow it, I think the mound compensated a little bit, and it was a strike right into the catcher's mitt.
So you have notes from the last time.
The catcher came up to me after I threw it. You know how every time throughout a ceremonial first pitch, the player that catches it or whatever comes up, and you shake hands and then take a picture, and Booster gets involved or whatever. And the catcher must have been of Hispanic descent.
Uh-huh.
And he said, good throw, Poppy. Good throw, Poppy.
Did you feel good about yourself?
I did.
Yeah, you should.
I did. So I threw that one. Then the next year, I threw out the first pitch on a day game. Steve Scarsoni was the manager. I believe He's now the third base coach for the A's. Steve Scarsoni, as I was walking back, I was like, what'd you think, Skip? He was like, good pitch. And then Ricky Henderson, who was the base running coordinator or whatever for the A's entire minor league system, Ricky and I had a little bro hug, and since I'm holding the baseball that I just threw the ball with, and here's Ricky Henderson. In fact, Chase, I think, has us all on video. Ricky was like, great throw. I was like, thanks, Ricky. And so Ricky and I kind of bro hugged it. And then Ricky, I was like, hey, Ricky, will you sign my ball? Since, you know, what am I going to do with this? I got a 1,000 baseballs in my house.
Since we're bestie pops now, you may as well just go ahead and sign my first pitch ball.
Well, it's Ricky Henderson. I mean, one of the greatest ball players of my lifetime. It's Ricky freaking Henderson.
You seized the moment.
I did. Ricky signed it. And, you know, later, one of my buddies, big from the Bay Area, big mm-hmm. A's fan, grew up in the 80s
tough
and the
to
90s.
Be an A's fan.
I gave him the Ricky Henderson ball, and he absolutely loved the Ricky Henderson ball. And again, because it's Ricky Henderson. So we'll see how this goes here.
Well, I will be watching Adam Wainwright pitch this weekend, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of a side-by-side video between your first pitch and his first pitch, and we'll see. We'll compare.
He's going to throw. He's going to
we'll
throw a breaking ball. You know, I'm not. I'm just throwing
throw
that.
Out there. Give him the old Uncle Charlie out there.
Here's the other thing. I will be here like at 5 o'clock or what? I just got. I'm supposed to be here at 5:30. I think the game is at 7:05. So the first pitch is probably
getting your warm ups in.
Oh yeah, I'm going down
the bullpen.
I'm going down to the batting cage. You know, like downstairs. I'm going down there, and I am definitely warming up.
You better not bounce that ball.
Hey, you know the old story. That's what George W. Bush.
That ball.
That's what.
You're going to pull a 50 cent?
Well, George W. Bush, when he threw out the first pitch at the 2001 World Series, he was downstairs, you know, getting loose before he went out to throw out the first pitch. And this was the 9/11 World Series in New York. Mm-hmm. And so I guess as the story goes, and I forget what Jeter said happened in the documentary, but the story is that Jeter basically told him, like, you better not bounce the ball. You have the entire country watching or something like that, or you're representing the entire country. And Bush was like, oh, I guess I better chuck this ball. And George W. Bush threw it right down the pipe. And that was like a big moment for
America. And
that
was for America.
No, it was. Like, we had, we'd been attacked, and George W. Bush is standing up there
and
on the mound.
A lot of poetic justice being in the city of New York.
And he throws one right down the crack. And you know what's funny? Like, I don't know, like, if people liked George W. Bush or didn't like George W. Bush, or, I mean, I do know what people thought of George W. Bush, but, again, I'm not Bill O'Reilly, so I'm not going to go into it, but I don't think there could ever be, in this era of American politics, a president, even after something like that, that would be, like, cheered by everybody for a first pitch like that.
And that's kind of the depressing and sad thing, but also very empowering thing, is whenever everyone collectively goes through such a traumatic experience, everyone comes together.
We'll see if that will happen again in future Americas. That's it for us. We're out of here.
Well, good
ESPN
luck on
Radio
Sunday.
Coming up. Thank you. ESPN Radio's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2, Stillman and Company. Two more sleeps until a Titans preseason game. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.